Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, 1128 Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South, above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to come out and visit us if you are in the area. If you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come by and visit. Or if you're just visiting, we had special visitors last weekend, people from out of town, and you've got the little resort area right there and a lot of cabins and things. So we have visitors pretty much throughout the year, so we're thankful for that. And we have some that hear on other radio stations, and when they're in the area, they'll come by and visit at Mount Lebanon. So we'd love for you to come by. You can find out more information on our church website. It is mountlebanonbc.org. And we have a lot of traffic there on the website. You can go, you can get archived radio broadcasts, you can get sermons preached right out of the pulpit there. You can find contact information, address, service hours, all of those things there on the website. And it is good to be here today. Noah is running just a little bit late. He's on his way, but he's not made it to the radio station yet. But he always welcomes our listeners on our different radio stations. There's 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate Brother Lamar Whittemore and the church ministry they have there, a local church with a radio station. What a blessing that is. And the Lord is really blessing there. And we keep up with them. And we're thankful for all the Lord is doing to bless the work there in Watertown, South Dakota. And then WZAP, 690 AM in Bristol, Virginia, every Saturday morning at 9:30 AM. And we'd love for you to listen in. We appreciate our listeners there as well. I want to make a special announcement before we go any further, and that is the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute. I have been mentioning this for the past several weeks, but the resident classes begin Thursday night, August 14th. And so maybe if you're listening in and you've been thinking about going to Bible Institute, it's quickly upon us. Resident, August 14th. Satellite schools will begin a week after that on August the 21st. So there's still time to get involved in the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute. Pastor Jerry Honeycutt from the Victory Baptist Church. This is one of the ministries that the church has. And for many years now, and a lot of preachers and missionaries and laymen and lay women have gone through this school over the years. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, right here in outside of Boone, North Carolina, we have a satellite school. And so if you're locally and you're interested in studying the Bible, we'd love for you to come. And you can just set in on a class. We have people do that. Just come and just want to check it out. You're more than welcome to come and do that. But that's going to begin the satellite school August 21st. They meet every Thursday night from 6:30 to 9:20. Three classes are covered each Thursday night. The fall semester 2014, class number one is going to be New Testament Survey Part 1. And Dr. Tull Oaks is the instructor for this class. And then the Book of Romans will be the second class. Brother Kenneth Forbes, he's the pastor of the Blue Rock Baptist Church. And then I will be teaching the third class, Kingdom of the Cults. And so if you'd like to find out more information, you can contact us. Our church phone number is 828-963-4596. Noah will give the information once again at the end of the radio broadcast today. Or you can go to vbcministries.org. That's V as in Victor, or Victory, vbcministries.org. Or you can call Pastor Honeycutt, 423-772-3362. And so this is a very good ministry. I am very thankful to have a part of it, and that is the Victory Bible Institute. Well, we've been studying the Bill of Rights here on Blessings of Liberty, and the Bill of Rights is the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution. It was ratified effective December 15th, 1791. And we're just studying the first 10, and so we're getting ready today to start the 10th Amendment. So this is the introduction to the 10th Amendment to the Bill of Rights. I just wanted to read from the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and it's interesting to me that I've noticed, you know, you pick up a copy of these little pocket constitutions, maybe they'll have the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights in them. And I've noticed that several do not have the preamble to the Bill of Rights, but the preamble is very eye-opening about the mindset of those that wanted a Bill of Rights to begin with. They wanted a Bill of Rights before they ratified the Constitution. And so the people elected representatives. The representatives from each state came together to ratify the Constitution. And they said, you know what? Before we do this, we want this. We want this in return. We want a Bill of Rights to go along with the Constitution. And the preamble says this: the conventions of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institutions. So they wanted further declaratory and restrictive clauses. I've said this before. The people that were involved in the process of establishing a new constitution, which was in effect a new government for a new country, our forefathers, they were not content to just hand over the reins of power to a federal government and just say, okay, there you go, we trust you. We just go up there and do right by us. Or the mindset today when states sometimes send senators or legislators to Washington, you know, the idea is be sure and bring home the bacon, you know, go up there and get all you can for North Carolina or West Virginia or Ohio or whatever it is, you know, you go and get all you can for us. But that was not their attitude, was just to hand over the reins of power. They wanted to make sure that ultimate power remained as stated in the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution, that ultimate power remained in the hands of we the people. And so the Bill of Rights, that's what it does, the Bill of Rights. These are rights for individuals concerning the state. We've talked about several. I'm not going to take time to go over them again today. You can read the Bill of Rights yourself. But this attitude, it is actually a principle that is found all through the Bible. All through the Bible, if you study and start in the book of Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelation, you will find this truth in the Bible, that God Himself is anti-tyrant. God is anti-tyrant. You go to the book of Genesis, you'll read about a man named Nimrod, and he got the people together, and he was going to build a city and a tower and a one-world government and a one-world religion, and God confounded the languages of the nations, or the languages, and that is why they're all the languages. That is why they're all the different nations in the world. But it was because a tyrant wanted to rule the world. Well, God's against that. He was against Nimrod. He was against Pharaoh. He was against Nebuchadnezzar. He was against the Herods and the Caesars. And if you come over into the New Testament, beyond where we are even today, over into the book of Revelation, where we read about the rise of a man who would just be characterized as being the Antichrist. God is against the Antichrist, which also will be a one-world leader, a one-world ruler, a tyrant. And the Lord is against him. The Lord is anti-tyrant, because all tyrants are anti-God. They are anti-Christ. And so where you see tyrants, they are always bringing people into bondage. They are always taking freedoms away. They are always accumulating all the power and all the wealth and all the land unto themselves. But the Lord, on the other hand, desires to deliver people out of bondage. He desires to deliver them into freedom, out of bondage, into freedom. And we find that all throughout the Bible. One of my favorite studies is the study of Moses and the children of Israel and Pharaoh, and how God fought against Pharaoh and the people in Egypt, and he delivered the children of Israel. Or you study the book of Judges, and they continually messed up. They continually sinned against the Lord and found themselves in bondage. But they would get in bondage, and they would pray, and they would cry out to God, and they would repent over their sin, and God would send a judge or a deliverer, and the deliverer would go, and he would deliver the people out from under their bondage. And then they would do pretty good for a while, and they'd sin again. You know, that's the story of humankind that just continually goes through this cycle, goes through this process. But the Lord, in the Bible, put power in the hands of the common people to confound evil leaders. I'm going to give one example. I've read this many times. I'm going to read it again from Psalms 149, beginning in verse number 5. And this is one place that illustrates, once again, how the Lord puts power into the hands of common people to confound evil leadership. Psalms 149, verse number 5. You can find this. Maybe you're traveling in a car and you don't have time to look it up right now. It's the next to the last chapter in the book of Psalms. The next to the last chapter in the book of Psalms 149, there's only 9 verses, but I'm going to begin at verse number 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, there's not a period there, but the thought goes on into the next verse. What's this two-edged sword in their hand for? It says, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. That's why God put the ability of self-defense in the hands of the common people. One reason was to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. And then it says, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. So it's an honor, it's a privilege, it is a responsibility for a people to be armed and to be able to defend and take up for themselves against a evil leadership. In fact, if you study this out in Psalms 149, you will find that this is the same spirit that is found in the Second Amendment, that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the reason for the Second Amendment is to be a guard against a tyrannical government. Same reason in Psalms 149 that God said, let them have a two-edged sword in their hand. That's the same idea that you find in the Second Amendment. Isn't that interesting? Well, today we begin with the 10th Amendment. This will be the last amendment that we'll study in the Bill of Rights. And the 10th Amendment says this. Let me read it for you. I've got to turn over here and find it. Article number 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And how very important that is. And I believe it's looked over sometimes that the very last phrase in that says, to the states respectively or to the people. Now, the 10th article has to do with the subject of state sovereignty. State sovereignty. North Carolina is a state. It should be sovereign as a state in and of its own self. And all the rest of the other 49 states. South Dakota is an independent sovereign state. And Florida and New York and Georgia and South Carolina and California and on and on and on we go. They are to be sovereign states. They have their own state government. They have their own constitution that they follow. They have their own governor. They have their own legislature. They have senators. They have congressmen, congresswomen, and right on down the line it goes. And so this is unique to the United States of America. This has to do with individual state sovereignty or the power, once again, resting in the hands of we the people. Now, it says in the 10th article, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. These powers that it's talking about, this is not some great mystery. Oh, what does that mean? Do we make this up as we go along? This is laid out very specifically in Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. Now, I'm just going to read that quickly. I'm not going to comment very much on it at all, but there's about 9 things in the first paragraph, and then there's actually 3 paragraphs, but this is the powers that what it's talking about, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states. Here is what it is. Article 1, Section 10. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, omit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. No state shall, without the consent of the Congress, lay any impost or duties on imports or exports except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws, and the next produce of all duties and imposts laid by any state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision and control of the Congress. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty on tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. So there's several things in there about the Constitution, what the Constitution allows as far as the states are concerned. But I want to point out, and I want you to notice, that there's nothing in there about voting. There's nothing in there about marriage. There's nothing in there about buying a firearm. There's nothing in there about health insurance. But you know, the federal government is continually in the business of the states concerning these matters. For example, all throughout the United States of America, this has happened several times, and I do not have the states or the numbers before me today, but several times the federal courts have overturned state decisions concerning marriage. And North Carolina is currently involved in a lawsuit concerning their constitutional amendment concerning marriage, that marriage would be recognized by the state being between a man and a woman. Well, this has been overturned in several states by federal courts. The federal courts actually have no business whatsoever dictating to the states what they're going to do in such matters. Several states have rejected Obamacare. This is supposed to be a federal law covering all 50 states, but several states have come along and they've said, we're not going along with it. We're not going to be involved in it. We're not going to make it a law in our land. Can they do that? Well, under the 10th Amendment, yes, they can. This power was not granted to the federal government under the Constitution. It is not constitutional to require or make somebody buy insurance. There's the matter of the federal firearms laws. Actually, each state should be able to dictate their own firearms laws, and several states have done that. North Carolina, Wyoming was one of the first to pass a law that said any firearm manufactured in the state of Wyoming does not fall under the federal regulations concerning buying and selling of firearms. So these are examples of states that have sort of bucked the system, you might say, concerning the laws of the federal government. I'd like to give an example from today's newspaper. Now, this is very interesting. This has to do with voting laws in North Carolina. Now, no matter how you feel about it, one way or the other, this has been in the news for past few years now. But today's newspaper, and this is an article that I found. It was on the front page of the newspaper, Winston-Salem Journal, August 12th, 2014. And I'm just going to read a little bit of that article just to give you an idea of what it's talking about. But it says in the article, and the headline is "Foes of Election Law Look Forward to Trial." And it said, "Opponents to North Carolina's new voting law are looking ahead to a federal trial next summer." And it goes on down in that article and it talks about what the opponents to North Carolina's new voting law are doing. It says they're going to redouble their efforts to make sure that people are registered to turn out to vote. Now, nobody's opposed to that, Republicans and Democrats both, and independents, and nobody is against people who are legally qualified to vote, to register to vote, to turn out to vote. The more people that turn out to vote, the better off it's going to be. And so they are redoubling their efforts to make sure that people are registered to turn out to vote. Goes on down and it says this: "The most well-known provision of the law would require every voter to present a photo ID at the polls starting in 2016. And that is one provision that some people are adamantly opposed to. They do not want it to be a state law that you have to present a photo ID in order to be able to vote. Now, this last May, the primary that was held here in North Carolina, my wife and I, we went to the courthouse to vote. And as we went through, there were several people that were pulling out their ID, a purse or a wallet, and, you know, just thinking, well, I'm going to have to show my ID in order to vote. Well, one of the people that were there helping in the Board of Elections during that day, I noticed, was very adamant to tell people, and told more than one person. I noticed this. They said something along these lines. You know, somebody would come up and get ready to show their ID, and they would say, "No, you don't have to show your ID in order to vote." They said, "Now, you will in 2016. And I witnessed that happen two or three times as I was waiting in line. "Oh, no, don't show me your ID. I don't want to see that. All we need is your name, address or something like that," whatever it was. I can't remember exactly. But they said, "In 2016, you're going to have to show your ID." And so when I got up there, I had mine ready to show and everything. And they said, "Oh, no, you don't have to show." I said, "Oh, that's good, because this is the sixth time that I voted in this primary already." And I thought it was funny. Now, my wife, she was with me. She didn't think it was that funny. But I thought it was just sort of illustrates the point to me. What would keep somebody from going in? And let me tell you, it happens, and it has happened. In North Carolina, there was a big article and write-up. There's a organization called Civitas in North Carolina. You can get their newsletter for free. And they had a big write-up of thousands of instances where people had voted under the same name in different counties. I mean, it is just up in the thousands. What is wrong with having to present a photo ID in order to be able to vote? That is not asking too much, that when you go to vote that you are who you say you are. And that to me is not asking too much. I had to rent a car last weekend. When I rented that car, you know what? I had to show a photo ID. I had to prove that I was who I said that I was. Should the car places, are they doing wrong by doing that? If you go buy a firearm, you have to show an ID. You have to prove that you're as old as you say you are. If people buy alcohol, you have to show an ID and prove that you're as old as you say you are. In something as important as voting, why shouldn't a person be required to show a photo ID? I'm sure one could be provided for those that maybe would not be financially able to do so. Well, let me just give you an example of why it's important that something be done, that our voting be protected. I have with me today, and I've had this for several weeks now, this came in the mail, I'm going to say a month ago, but what it is, and it is a excellent example of how easy it would be for voter fraud to take place. I have in my possession right here in the radio station today, I have voter registration documents enclosed. This was sent to my house, North Carolina voter registration application instructions, and it tells you how to register to vote and what to do and where to send this. It already has all the information filled out with name, address, zip code, and it just asks for a few other details to be filled in. And if I was to fill this in and send it in, I would be registered to vote. If you do not have a North Carolina driver's license number or Department of Motor Vehicles ID number, if you do not have a driver's license, then list the last four digits of your Social Security number. But the thing that interests me about this is made out for Hannah Greer. Hannah Greer is my daughter that passed away in 1996, being sent to my house. How easy it would be for voter fraud to take place. I could easily register, send this in, and send a young girl or find an 18, 19-year-old girl to go in and vote, just given a name and given an address. That something needs to be done about that. A photo ID is not asking too much. And so that's part of the redoubling of the efforts. That's just one example where the federal government is intruding upon the sovereignty of the state to do what is best on the state's behalf, on behalf of the people. Well, our time has quickly come and gone today. There's a little phrase, I got this from, it's called the 10th Amendment Center. And that's interesting if you want to look it up. But they've got a little motto. It says, the Constitution, every issue, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. I like that. I like people that say, you know, we just need to get back to the Constitution. Well, Noah's going to come. He's going to give the contact information. I do appreciate him and all of his help here on the radio broadcast. We hope you have a great rest of the day. We desire your prayers. Have a good day, and God bless.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.